Welcome to Send Me Radio. Download the free app from Google Play or Apple Store to listen to more awesome Christian content like this. Or command Alexa to play Send Me Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome to Send Me Radio. I had an awesome encounter the other day at work. This goes to show that God can visit you anywhere. This is a testimony of a dear sister, a powerful woman of God that the Lord is using in a mighty way. Let this testimony bear witness that the Lord is good. He is mighty to save, and in due time, He makes all things beautiful. Listen to the end and be blessed.
God bless you, everyone, and welcome to Send Me Radio. Today, we have a very interesting discussion that we'll be having with a child of God. She's a powerful woman of God, and I know this just by discernment. You know, I'm going to hand over to her, and I'm going to allow her to minister to you according to the Lord's leading.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Melanie, and good morning, everybody. I pray all is well, all that everyone that's listening. I wanted to touch on, just kind of bring up how Melanie and I met the other day. It was a God appointment. It was just two people at work. We were both, I'm a nurse, we both work in a hospital, and so I was, the Lord had set me up to, she and I were talking, and Melanie had come up to the nurse's station and had overheard, and so, and then she had come up to me a little bit later and introduced herself and told me about the radio show. And so I just thought that that was, like, so beautiful because that's how God works. And that's how He uses us. Like, you know, it, not all of the time is it orchestrated. Is He telling you, well, I want you to go here and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. It's more like you go about your business and He highlights someone to you and you just start talking. And then it's kind of like a domino effect. And here we are today. And now I'm sharing a bit of what God has done in my life. And it's such an honor to be on here and to be speaking with Melanie and with you all. And I pray that that you can hear the heart of God in my testimony, that that you can glean and maybe even identify more areas of your life where God has touched your life that you didn't know before. And so pretty much to kind of start it off was I didn't come from a Christian family. I came from they were Catholic by birth, both of my parents, but none of them went to church. And it was a pretty abusive relationship between my mom and my dad the whole time they were together. And growing up in their household, there was a lot of abuse on my brother and I. And the abuse that was occurring with me was more hidden behind the scenes. And it was sexual abuse. It was physical. It was emotional. And the physical portion of the abuse went on until I was about 5 years old. When I could start talking and I was putting things together, and then he pretty much stopped the sexual abuse and continued with everything else. But he, you know, I guess kind of figured that he might, he had to tread lightly. But the household environment was volatile at best, you know. but this kind of set me up. And as I got older, I didn't understand why I made some of the decisions that I made or the things that I was kind of drawn to that other children weren't drawn to. I wanted to be, like, genuinely in my heart, I wanted to fit in with other kids, but I didn't. And the more I tried, the more people, it was like two magnets. One flipped over on the negative side and the other one, and so they just repel against each other. And so, and that was pretty much the way that my life went for a good portion of my life. And when I was, I want to say, I think I was like 14 years old, I heard a voice. It was more like a thought. And it had said to me, be careful around him, be careful. And within like a day or so, my dad ended up, you know, grabbing me. And when I broke away from him, I knew it was like a heartbeat second. I knew that was not the first time that he had done that to me. And so things started to come back to me because I didn't remember all the things that he did to me when I was younger. And then this set me off to start running away from home and hanging out with a bad crowd. And by the time I was 17 years old, I was in South Florida, and there were a lot of gangs down there. And I had gotten mixed up with, you know, with the wrong crowd, like I said. But I ended up coming across some money, and I wanted to get an apartment and move out of my dad's and my parents' house. And so when I went to go do that, I ended up asking someone to put their name on a lease, and that gentleman basically kidnapped me and stole my money, locked me in a house, and I was kidnapped at 17. Maybe like a week later, I broke away, and so that happened. Then when I was in my 20s, I had a friend, and of course, you know, when I started hanging out with the wrong crowd, it didn't change. It just continued, and it started to evolve. And the people that I started to hang out with got a little bit worse and a little bit worse and a little bit worse. And so by the time now I'm 20 years old, I came across another friend, and I just show up at this person's house, and boom, another person was there. We got held at gunpoint. And we were held at gunpoint for 2.5 hours. I watched my friend get shot. The gentleman who shot him kidnapped me at gunpoint, put me in my car. He gets in the driver's seat. He put me in the passenger seat, and he gets out on the road, gets on the phone, and he called someone, and he was like, I don't know what to do with her. She showed up. And I could hear, as if the phone was on intercom, I could hear the person on the phone say, bring her to me and we'll dump her in the Everglades. And immediately it was really intense. And immediately, as if there was a third person in the car, I heard an audible voice right behind my ear say, jump. And I grabbed the car handle door and I jumped right out of the car. I hit the ground and I end up running back and forth across the street. This guy chased me with the vehicle. I end up seeing a cop car driving on the opposite side of the street, and I ran and jumped on the hood of her car. And so that police officer, kind of freaked out and put me in handcuffs, but they ultimately ended up piecing everything together that, you know, what I was saying about my friend was actually factual, and that it, you know, it was a murder, and I had witnessed it. And so, but the people that were involved in this ended up chasing me for like a good year. Because I was at first the only evidence that happened, aside from my friend's body. And so that was in my 20s, and you could imagine that now I went into hiding. And so then from there, I started using drugs pretty heavily, and I ended up having a heart attack. I remember it like yesterday. I fell to the ground. I was outside. I fell to the ground. I was just hyperventilating. I don't remember the EMTs picking me up and bringing me to the hospital, but I do remember everything all of a sudden just going black. And I heard everything the doctor was saying as if he was sitting right next to me. And I heard she doesn't have much more time. And he was on the phone with my dad. He was like, she doesn't have much more time. You need to get up here. And boom, I was brought back to my body. And so I like had an out of body experience. That was 25. And then later on when I was 27, I was driving down the street and the roads were wet. And all this time I had no concept of God. I wanted to believe that God was real. But for me and where I was in my life, to me, God was almost like Santa Claus. You want to believe that he's real, but you don't know that he's real. And so now at 27, I'm driving in my car and I lost control of my car on a highway and it started spinning. And again, I hear this audible voice go, put your seatbelt on. And I was like, what? And as soon as I went to go grab the seatbelt, it was like the car slowed down and I clicked the seatbelt and then immediately the back of the car flipped over the front and it went two times to the side. And I literally, had I not listened to that voice, I would not be here right now.
Yes.
And so like I had all of these incidents, all of these crazy incidents and then everything pretty much stopped for a little while. But then and I ended up meeting somebody and having two children. And then I went to school and I became a nurse. And what was really crazy was is that in our relationship with my kid's dad, we ended up, it didn't work out. I knew it wasn't going to work out. But he ended up finding somebody else while I was pregnant with our second child. And immediately I just knew I need to become a nurse. That's the only way I'm going to be able to support my children without chasing a man for the rest of my life. And so that's what I did. I set my mind to it and I started, I went into nursing school and literally by the grace of God, I made it through nursing school.
Amen.
And then I become a, I know, right? Amen. I became a nurse and now I'm making money and I'm able to support myself and my children. I don't need child support. I have a brand new car, a beautiful apartment in a nice area of town. My kids are going to a really good school, but there was this overwhelming emptiness inside of me. And so I was living in Boca Raton, Florida. I'm not sure if anyone knows where that is, but it was a lot of people there had a lot of money. And there was a lot of like meeting people, became hard because I felt like I was fitting into a box. You had to be pretty and you go to the gym and take care of yourself and go out and drink and you had to like fit into this box. And most of the men said to me, like, what do you have to offer me? And I'm like, this is weird. Like, that's not the way it's supposed to work. And so I found myself really, really empty, really, really fast again, and came close to like I was now toying with the idea of wanting to commit suicide. And so it really went fast, and I ended up back out on the street using again, but I'm a nurse, and I was doing it like I was a weekend user. But there was, again, now I think it was 3 years into being a nurse, well, 2.5 years really, and I heard, and this thought hit me, and it said, you better put up your nursing license before you lose it. And I have never had a thought speak to me like that before, and except for when I was 14, when it went with my dad, and it kind of jarred me a little, and I was just like, you know what? I was travel nursing. Let me just, after this contract, take a break. And I ended up taking a break after that contract, and immediately everything in my life completely imploded. And I end up going out to a bar. I meet the wrong person, and now I'm back using heavy drugs again. And I remember it like yesterday. I had this girl over at my house, and it was just this overwhelming feeling. I looked at her, and I was just like, right in the middle of our conversation, I'm like, I have to go to church. And this girl looked at me, and she was like, what on earth are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know, but I have to go. And I grabbed my phone, and I'm like looking, Googling churches, and I found one. And I looked at my friend Devin, and I was like, Devin, I was like, you're coming with me. I said, we're going to go together. And so me and her get in my car, and we drive over. We get out of the car. We walk up to the door, and I just stopped. And she was standing right next to me. And as I'm looking inside this church, all of a sudden, it was like an explosion. I saw a bright white flash of light. And I looked at my friend. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, did you just see that? And she looked at me. She was like, yeah, I did. And then we stepped foot inside, and we stayed for the service. And it was really weird, because it felt like it was a Catholic church. It felt like the priest was speaking right to me. Like everything that he was saying was exactly what I needed to hear. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so when we left, I was talking to my friend about, like, I'm like, did you hear what that guy was saying? Like, did you hear everything that he was saying? And she wanted nothing to do with it. But for me, it was like it set its hook in me. I needed to figure out what just happened. And I sat there, and I was just like, okay. And then that was November of 2016. And from that day, for the next 8 months, that white light that I saw broke something off my eyes. And I started seeing angels and demons, all kinds of spirits. I was having back-to-back encounters. I literally thought there was something wrong with me. I thought I had a psychotic break. I thought I needed, like, medicine, you know, being a nurse for 3 years. I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And but towards the end of the 8 months, people started coming up to me, talking to me about Jesus. And I was sitting there, and I'm like, nobody had ever done that to me before. And I'm like, okay, so I started to put together, I really think that God is real. And my nursing license was still intact. Like, I had taken a break for 8 months while all this was going on. But after I started to put together that God was real, I end up getting back into nursing, and I took a travel contract away from South Florida, because I just needed to get my head straight. Like, I needed to be away from everything that I knew. And I end up going up there. And 2 weeks after being there, a woman walked up to me. And she comes up to me, and she says, just off the street, just walks right up to me. She was like, can I talk to you? And I was like, yeah, no worries. So we went outside, and we were just sitting there, and she looked at me, and she was like, you know, I was driving down the street, and God asked me to come here. And I just kind of looked at her like she was crazy. I was like, what? Like, what did you just say? She was like, she goes, he's telling me, he wants me to tell you that it's real. And I was like, what did you just say? And I just kept saying, what did you just say? Like, I don't even know how many times I said it, but, and she repeated herself like 3 times. And by the third time she repeated herself, he keeps saying it over and over again. It's real. It's real. I started bawling, crying. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you hear his voice? And that was June of 2017 when that happened. And I when I asked this woman her name, it was the same name as mine, Jennifer. And like, wow. I could not even make it up. God sent someone to me off the street, plucked her up out of her car and told her to go to this one spot. She goes there. She sees me, she prophesies over me, and I'm like this lost girl thinking that nobody sees me. I'm in it. Like, I knew that I had just been opened up to the spirit realm, and I'm like, oh my God, I was terrified. Like, I was scared because I didn't know, I had no gauge for all the stuff that I was encountering. Like, I didn't understand. And now this woman came up to me and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have someone I can ask questions to. And I latched onto her. And the first thing that this woman says to me is, you need to get baptized and you need to pick up the Bible and you need to start reading it. And so that was exactly what I did. Maybe like, I want to say it was like a month later, I ended up getting baptized. And I had been reading the word, and now to just kind of give you a visual, I was a girl from a rough family, and my family, my dad cussed all the time, and I was in South Florida. We, you know, it was a beach. There's beaches everywhere. Women didn't, you know, it was the clothing that we wore and stuff like that. So I was far from looking like your typical Christian, and far from sounding like one too. And so, but when this woman said that to me, she didn't mention anything about all that stuff. She just told me to pick up the word and start reading it. And that was what I did. And within a month of reading the word, like, I cussed every other word, basically. I used to cuss all the time. And when I started reading that word for about within 30 days, that was the first thing I noticed. I wasn't cussing no more. And it wasn't, wow. Nobody spoke to me and said, oh, you need to stop doing that. Nobody told me anything. It was the power of God. It was his, like, you know, when we hear the word washes you, it really does. Like, it really washes you. If you're consistent, it will wash you of things that you didn't want there, you know?
Yeah.
Then from there, maybe a few weeks after that, I was standing in front of my closet and I'm looking at all my clothes and I'm like, I can't wear any of these clothes anymore. And I would throw out, and I basically would go through a shedding, and now I'm 6 years into the Lord, and if I held up a picture of the way that I looked then and the way that I look now, I actually look younger now than I did when I first came to him, and I'm more refined, obviously, and I just, it's like from the inside out, he renewed me. And it's so beautiful. And so I latched on. And so he brought me to Panama City, Florida. And I went to that woman's church, and I didn't talk to, like, I fellowshipped and with a few people, but in my mind, I just kept listening. I followed this one thought. I don't know God. I need to spend as much time with him as I can. I feel like I was cheated for 38 years of my life at that point, like not knowing God or having an opportunity to live with him and for him and have a relationship with him that I needed to get set apart. And I had no idea that that was actually a term, like being set apart. Like I didn't really know that that was something that he does. I just thought, oh yeah. My gosh, I need to be with him. And so I did that. And for the first, I want to say the first 2 years, I was completely set apart with him. I would go to church. I would go to work. I never went back to South Florida. I stayed in Panama City for 2.5 years following the Lord. And I had kids in South Florida. And it was probably about a year in when I started hearing the Lord's voice super clear. And he had asked me to stay and follow him and that he would bring my kids to me. And so each of our lives and our walks they differ slightly, you know. He's going to ask us to do slightly different things. It's always going to the Bible, the Word of God is our plumb line. That's what we compare everything to, the voice that we hear and the prophecies that we get. We always line it up to the Word. But the encounters that you may or may not have, line it up to the Word. But he will ask you, if you have a call on your life, he's going to ask you to get set apart and stay with him and become one with him and hear his voice. And it's so important nowadays to take the time and separate yourself from the world, no matter where you are. He can change your whole life. 6 years ago, when I was that 8 months, when I wasn't working, I went from being a nurse, having a career, to losing everything, living on the street and losing my car, having debt over my head. And then now, 6 years later, I bought my first house. I have a brand new car. I have a beautiful job. And I hear God's voice, and I have an amazing relationship with him. So beautiful. So beautiful. God is so good.
Praise the Lord. My sister Jennifer, that was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful testimony. I'm sure that the ears that hears this testimony will be blessed.
Yes,
the mind,
I pray they are.
That the mind that this testimony will enter, you know, will want to seek God and develop a relationship with him and give their lives to him. This is the type of testimony that the world needs to hear. If you lift him up, then he will draw men unto himself. And I'm sure that this is what this testimony will do. And I want to thank you, because it takes a lot. It takes the Spirit of God to actually come out of yourself and share what the Lord has done in your life. It takes the Spirit of God to do something like that. So I just pray that whoever hears this, it will minister to them, and they will see Jesus on the cross.
Yes.
And it will pull them to him. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, my sister. And thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do you mind if I say a prayer for the people that are listening?
Yes, please do. Go ahead.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your son, and we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the blood. For everybody who's listening, Father, I stand in the gap for them. Wash them from the top of their head to the bottom of their toes. Holy Spirit, touch them now, all the way down to their DNA. Every generational curse, sin, spirit, and illness is broken off of their bloodlines. Open their spirit eyes. We lose dreams, visions, and encounters over them. Eyes to see with 20/20 vision. Ears to hear with such clarity. I pray discernment over them. Perfect alignment with the will, with the word, and with the voice of God for them. A fire over them. and a hunger for your word and for your voice. Let them move forward and go forward, prophesying over people, praying over people, standing in the gap for their brothers and their sisters around them, loving on everybody. Let us be the hands and feet of Jesus in this generation. And if you feel the tug of God on your heart to go deeper, I dare you to answer him. I dare you to go in this secret place and get alone with him and pray. Learn. If you don't know how to pray in tongues, learn. If you want to read the Bible and it doesn't make sense to you, like it didn't make sense to me, that woman said to me, just read it. Read it. Find a translation that's easy on your ears and just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until it makes sense, and Holy Spirit will let it make sense. And then that's it. And then you're on fire. So we just thank you, Father, for the testimonies that are going to come and for the lives that are changed in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. 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 God bless you. And thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I want to thank everyone to tune in to Send Me Radio. God bless you. And we do look forward to continuing to see you, continuing to hear from you, just continue to share Send Me Radio. God bless you.
Amen. Bye-bye.